Hi, I'm Steve Mileto from the Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 podcast, a part of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you're listening to now. Shows on the network are individually owned, and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other interesting education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com.
Welcome, everybody, to this episode of the Ninth Grade Experience Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Dutchko. Ninth grade can be challenging. Let's experience it together. And we're here to kick off the 2024 year with the latest episode of the podcast here. We're going to go back to one of our features from earlier in the year where we celebrate ninth grade experiences through the decades. In the beginning of the year in November, we had a feature from Doris Schaefer, who was 99 years old and was a freshman in the 1930s. And now we're going to have a representative from the 1940s is our next decade. Today, we're going to focus and share the story of Ruth Kemmerer. She was a freshman in 1945-46 school year, graduated in 1949. Her class is known as the 49ers. So I think that's a pretty cool feature here. We're going to get to learn all about Ruth's high school ninth grade experience. And there's a lot tied in with World War II, which I think makes it a really interesting story. You get to hear about all the different things that she did and was involved with here at Emmaus High School. So again, we're really excited to be partnering with the Emmaus Historical Society on these trips through the past here and trying to talk to some of our people here in the community that have had very unique ninth grade experiences from back in the day. So you can go back and listen to Doris's episode here if you just go to ninthgradeexperience.com and search for ninth grade experience through the decades, or you can listen to any of our previous episodes with students that are currently in high school or maybe some that have recently graduated as well too. So again, you can find us at our website. There are links there to listen to the audio podcast, links to the YouTube podcast as well too. You can always find all of our stuff on TikTok at Ninth Grade Experience, on YouTube Shorts at Ninth Grade Experience, Instagram at Ninth Grade Experience as well too. So we're excited to continue this mini feature here on the podcast and learning about ninth grade experiences through the years. So we're excited to bring you this story of Ruth Kemmerer. This will be our second in our series of exploring the history of Emmaus High School in conjunction with the Emmaus Historical Society. So I'm really excited today to do my second interview. We are going through the years and through the decades as we go through. So today, I'm really excited to be able to have a conversation here with Ruth Kemmerer. Ruth is a graduate of Emmaus High School of 1949, and her freshman year was 1945-1946 school year. So we're going to chat today, see what she remembers about her freshman year. We have pictures from her yearbook. We have lots of other cool stuff that we're going to talk about. So Ruth, thank you so much for taking the time out to join us today.
You're welcome.
So we were just talking before we started, and we had met and talked at the Emmaus Historical Society at one of the events that they do there. So I'm excited to be back in contact with you here. And like all of our guests that come onto the show for the first time, we ask them what their ninth grade experience was like. So what do you remember about your time at Emmaus High School from that school year of 1945-1946?
Well, let's face it, back then, I was not Ruth Kemmerer. I was Ruth Wenner, W-E-N-N-E-R, and I lived in Emmaus at that time all my life. The experience coming from Lincoln School and, of course, all the other schools that I attended in Emmaus were fantastic. I loved learning and having reasonably good teachers and many good friends. But coming to Emmaus High School was a challenge. Number one, you want me to go into this from the beginning?
Sure, yeah. We'd love to hear it. We want to hear all about what it was like for you to kind of come into the high school. And I know it was definitely that 1945-46 time period. There was a lot going on in the country.
In the world.
And, you know, I think students would benefit from hearing what you experienced coming into high school.
Well, I think as students, we were all challenged by the conditions of the World War II. And of course, my father was very involved. He belonged to a civic organization, And we were kept abreast of what was going on. It was a bit frightening, to tell you the truth. But coming to the new high school was a challenge. But unfortunately, when I came to the ninth grade, I was put into just a general section because I did not take academics. I wanted to be a secretary and learn how to type and do shorthand. And at that time, it was a challenge because they weren't set up for freshmen coming in for that. So at that time, I was stuck in the basement of the high school. We had to use the back stairs, not the front entrance of the high school, to come into a classroom that was filled with whatever they had to do with whoever came into that building that they didn't know what to do with. So ninth grade was a challenge. We're stuck near the gymnasium. We could hear all the things going on in the gymnasium with the football, with the basketball practices. And I had a teacher who evidently had been in the service, and maybe every morning around 10 o'clock, he was served crackers and milk because he had a condition. And yet he was there to teach us, and every afternoon the same thing happened. And yet we didn't quite understand at our age what was going on, but we tried to handle everything. But it was difficult. Like I said, most of my friends had gone into the academic sections, and they were upstairs. And somehow I felt left out.
And it's interesting because when we talked to Doris in our first episode about this, she talked to us about the process of like how they've grouped kids into like the four different kind of sections.
Yes.
And I we'll talk more about this as I have a picture from your 1949 yearbook that you graduated in, and it listed for that point all the sections that the kids picked for, you know, which track we'll say that you went into, and it lists you as the secretarial. So was there a reason that you picked that? Like, because I know you could have picked from like an academic or a vocational, or I know you said that that's kind of where you thought you were going to go into, but did you want to pick the academic and maybe you were told not to pick it? It kind of seems like maybe you didn't necessarily want to be in the secretarial track.
Well, actually, the bottom line was my parents were not wealthy. Like a lot of my friends, family were, and they could plan on going to college. I knew when I graduated from high school, I had to find a job and more or less help my family along, as my sister did ahead of me. Unfortunately, of course, she got married right the same year she graduated. So I was kind of left in the family, and I felt as though I'll be happy getting an office job and doing whatever I can learn in high school. And it did turn out well for me.
So you went through, so we'll kind of get into that as we go through, but so you entered this track, you said you were at the high school, you were kind of like in the basement,
yes,
as you're saying, and you kind of maybe didn't feel like, well, you know, a part of the school. So like, did you actually get to go into like the other parts of the school? Were you kind of kept into that spot? Like, how did you get to be like feel a part of the school?
Well, actually, our classes were upstairs.
Okay.
And that's how we got to know how the high school looked and how we could perform. But since we were thrown in with other classmates who were going different ways, it was difficult to feel, what's a good word, part of the high school. Like I say, ninth grade, and my marks kind of showed my ninth grade. Marks showed I was a little unhappy because generally I was a very good student. I was not always on the A honor roll, but usually on the B honor roll. And I kept up my grades because my father was very much involved with my grades. And the report card was very important during our lives. I don't know how everything's computerized today.
Yep, they don't even get a paper copy of the report cards anymore.
Is that right? Well, yeah. Believe me, that was the focus of me going to school, bringing home my report card to my father, because he was a graduate of Emmaus High School, back in 19 something like that, and was he was also a musician. He played the violin, and that was a great outlet for me because I started singing. I had a solo in fourth grade that my teacher got me involved in, and when I came up to junior high, we had little programs that we had different things that I could enjoy being with other students and enjoying being on the stage.
Yeah, and I think looking at that, like, so you're saying, like, you were trying to get yourself ingrained into the school, trying to figure out how to, like, become a part, feel a part of Emmaus High School. I was able to see from that yearbook in 1949 some of the stuff you were involved with during that freshman year. And, you know, even today we talk to freshmen about being involved, trying to, you know, now, like, in your graduating class, it said there was 158 members of the graduating class of 1949.
Oh, I thought it was 154.
Maybe. I don't know.
That's what I have, 154.
So give or take a couple people there. But now we have about 600 to 700 kids that are graduating. We have about 2,900 kids in our school. So we always talk about how to get yourself involved and kind of find those spots. So you were talking about your musical, you know, prowess there. So it said two of the musical things that it said you were a part of as a freshman were the Glee Club and chorus. So do you remember anything about being a part of those two activities?
Well, actually, yes. We had a freshman minstrel. And of course, they asked anyone who wanted to sing a solo or do something dancing or whatever. And of course, I was a soprano soloist. I sang I Can't Believe to Tell You, something like that. And we stood out there on the stage in the evening a couple times, and that was a great thing, and I was involved in a sextet, I believe, that I sang with my other students. That was great because we got the stage feeling. And of course, my brain is going where. As I got used to the freshman year and got to know how everything ran, and of course getting to know the different teachers kind of helped, but I still felt a bit isolated. But in time, as we got used to the procedures that we had to follow, I became a little more comfortable.
Did, looking back on it, did the high school, like, help you in any way to, like, transition from that 8th to 9th grade year? Or was it basically like, you're on your own, kid, here's high school, and, you know, figure it out on your own?
I'd say more of the last thing you said. And being a girl, there were a lot of fellas in my class down there who didn't know what they wanted to do. And they, too, were at kind of odds. How to proceed. A lot of them left high school because I think at that age they could leave and maybe get a job for their family too, because like I say, it was rough times, and things were changing all the time, that you almost felt better stick to what you have and try and make the best of it.
So you were talking about you joined the minstrels group there. And I know that you said that, you know, we're talking about like kind of that, what was going on in the world around you. In your yearbook in 1949, because you were on the yearbook and you were the class treasurer. So, you know, you did get yourself involved and you said you were the treasurer all the way through. So you had a little bit of a little mini thing at the beginning of the yearbook. And it talked about that Welcome Home Minstrel show in your freshman year, and how it was kind of like this, like, almost not necessarily bittersweet thing, but, you know, it was focused on was like people returning back from the end of World War II. So what was that like at that point? You know, you had talked about it a little bit earlier, but like, we're trying now to get the sense of what it was like to be a freshman in that year, and you're dealing with the how to be a freshman, you're dealing with high school, and you're also dealing with all of these world events. And when we talked to Doris, she talked to us about like how people from the community were going into the war or people were coming back. So I'm sure there was a lot of people in your just immediate, even maybe in the high school or people that you knew that were involved in the war. So what was that like for you as a freshman, you know, talking about that show and then just kind of balancing those two things out?
Well, to balance out my high school, I had to balance out my family situations too, because I had many uncles, at least six uncles, that were called into the service. And my mother was very upset because some of them were her brothers. And of course, my father's brother had to go into the service. And of course, that hung over a lot of the things that were going on at the time. And somehow you felt, I'm lucky to be here in the United States when friends might die overseas and my uncles might have a problem. It became, even as a young teenager, I guess I was a teenager, it became overwhelming. And we tried to do the best we could.
And I'm assuming, like, today with our students, there's a lot of focus on, like, mental health and those kinds of things. Like, was that even a conversation of that time period? Or was it kind of like what we talked about earlier, where it was like you kind of suffer in silence and you just kind of do what you need to do to get by? Or was there, like, actually, like, people at the school that you could talk to like, get that support, or even people in the community?
Well, I think that came later in high school. I had a wonderful teacher, an English teacher, and she seemed to be more down to earth, and we could talk to her. But some of the other teachers, of course, were there to teach their subject, and you were there to learn. And they had their own personal issues, I'm sure they did. But it was difficult as a young person who was dealing with the trauma at home and then having to come to high school and try and focus on what you wanted to do with your life.
Yeah, I can imagine. Like, we have so many issues with that now.
Yes.
I could just imagine how that was then, because you have, you know, like you're saying, you had multiple family members involved in the war. You know, when you start high school, you have this understanding that you're going to basically be going through high school in order to get a job to help support your family, to help support things that are going on. So that's a heavy burden for a 14, 15-year-old to kind of take on right as you're kind of entering high school. So,
yes, and as I remember, we had to collect tin cans and flatten them and take them up to a certain point where they were making them into whatever they were doing with those tin cans. They were helping the Army and doing something with them. Artillery or whatever. And my father, did I say this before, was part of the civic organization, and he would have to put a belt with a gun on and go up to the Lincoln Junior High School and stand on the roof looking for planes that might be coming into our area. So it was all, we were all affected by what was going on and not knowing what was going to happen, even though it turned out that we were never bombed or attacked.
Do you remember, like, today, like, we have at the high school, we do, like, fire drills?
Yes.
And, like, preparedness drills?
Yes.
And, like, did they have drills like that while you were in high school? Like, what would that kind of look like?
We did, and I believe we gathered in the gymnasium, which, of course, that's where my ninth grade class, homeroom class, was right next to the gymnasium. And I believe we all had to gather down in the basement, all the way down, and, well, it was underground to begin with, I believe. And, well, our gymnasium got water in it, and of course we had to play basketball and do our gymnastics on a uneven surface. Years ago, things were not as ideal as they are today, even though I know you have your problems.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, we're talking about, like, at the high school now and in the whole district of, you know, we're expanding so much. We need more space. Like, we're looking
yes,
at the high school. Like, our high school gym is the smallest
and
in our area.
And you have a swimming pool.
I would assume that you did not have a swimming pool.
Oh, my gosh, no. Our swimming pool was down in the gymnasium trying to
Trying to keep it dry. Yeah, our kids now complain about swimming, but now it's, you know, I think we have it as it's everyone has to take it at the high school because we have a pool. And like when you look back, not, you know, not every class of kids had the luxury of having a pool.
Well, my daughter enjoyed the pool because she was in, what do they call that class? And she excelled in that.
In aquatics.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting to kind of hear that, like at the beginnings of your high school career, like kind of what you were dealing with. Did that improve like throughout your time at Emmaus High School, or did that kind of always hang over like everything that kind of happened? Like, you know, the war ended in like 1945, but you know, you were there till 1949. Was there still this like sense of like all that kind of stuff while you were going all the way through high school?
Well, I'll tell you, I had very good friends, and the things that the school provided for their students by the clubs that were in Emmaus, they had the women's club, and we had dances every Saturday night, and even our schools, we got together and we planned Halloween parties. We had many other activities that I just loved, and it kept us happy because we had very little else going on.
Yeah, I noticed in like the write-up in the 1949 yearbook, it talked about it was very prideful about all the dances and the social.
Yes.
And the social or the social things that the class did, because it talked about like I think it was maybe I forget which year it was, but there was a very specific thing about the Valentine's Day dance. And
yes,
like it was really neat to see that, because at the school now we do like two dances and then like our prom and then the senior ball. So they don't have that. Like, I think that's interesting, like looking back, like that the school had something for you almost like on a weekly basis, like to as a social event. Now we have a hard enough time trying to do it like twice a year, but it's kind of neat to see that that was something that they did.
Well, I think the smaller class helped.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't have to deal with throngs of kids wanting to come in.
Yeah.
And we all took advantage of it. We loved dances, and we had programs in Lyceum that were very promising to us as to what the future was looking out there for us. So they gave us encouragement, I will say that. And we had a wonderful music teacher, Pop Peters was his name, and he was there at the high school for many, many years. And he had different programs that the music kids could get involved in. And I think that carried us through. I really do. It gave us a glimmer of what life can be.
So it's interesting, like, we talk about now, like, a lot of times kids won't necessarily remember the math class or the English class, but they will remember these extracurricular activities.
Yes.
and things like that. And I think for someone like you, you're talking about the music, how that was a huge part. We're going to talk about some other things you were involved with as well, too. But just those kinds of things that that were in addition to your academic stuff, I think, seemed to really make an impact on you personally, because it was like kind of like a way for you to get away from all the other stuff.
Yes.
So some of the other things, so I did this with Doris and I thought it was fun. So I did the same thing. So I printed out your 1949 yearbook bio, which I always think is funny, because
we did our own we took a friend and she did mine and I did hers.
Okay, so that's really funny, because now in our yearbook they don't have anything like this. So the first thing that I think is really funny is that they list your address in the yearbook. And I know that's because that was a way for people to get in contact with other people.
Right.
We talked about like how, you know, now we're always in communication with everybody. But back then, people didn't have that way of communicating. So like, I know when we talked to Dora, she said they didn't even have like phones in their classrooms. And I don't even know if that...
Oh my gosh, no. And at home, you were lucky to get a party line.
Yeah.
And if you lifted up the phone and wanted to call, there's usually somebody on. You had to wait till they were finished.
So just knowing the address was really was funny. So I'm going to read you your bio here that your friend wrote for you in this senior year. So Ruth Wenner, you were known as Ruthie as the nickname. So
actually, I was not. I was known as Ruth. She put that in. We had another Ruth in our class, and she wanted to be Ruthie. And I said, I'll be Ruth.
All right. So it says that you were charming and attractive. Describe this lass who was chosen queen of our junior prom. Ruthie, an all-around gal, has led our cheering section at athletic functions and is fond of dancing and singing. Her future is bound to be a success due to her ability to make and keep friends. So would you say that that was an accurate representation of you in your high school days?
That was a very kind. And of course, the gal that wrote that was a good friend of mine. And we knew each other from first grade on up. Actually, yes, I think that would describe me. It's what made me tick.
Yeah. So I really liked the prom queen thing. So how did that come about as a junior prom queen?
That was a shock. I was on the committee, of course, because I was an officer. And of course, I think at that time, the senior class had everyone vote in our 10th, 11th grade. It just was a shock. I was with a boyfriend, of course, at our prom. And of course, me being an officer, I had to help in the festivities. And they even called me back, oh, you have to walk in the procession, because there were, I think, five or six of us that had been nominated. And truly, it never fazed me that I would be chosen. And yet, my boyfriend was excited, and my friends were excited, and I looked at some of my other friends that didn't make it, and I was a little uneasy.
But it's really interesting, though, that, like, like, one of the reasons I like doing this, and it's, like, all at any age that I talk to people about, is, like, you can kind of just see, and, like, even just thinking back, like, I can see when you're talking about, like, that junior prom, and, like, even, like, not knowing, and then the expectation of getting it, and then even remembering what, like, the looks on some of your friends that didn't win. Mm-hmm. I just think it's really cool to be able to look back on that experience. Was there a whole lot of, so I assume, was this at, like, whatever they consider, like, a homecoming dance, or was this,
this was our junior prom. It was called the Owl's Home, right there on near the triangle on in Emmaus.
Okay.
Now it's a bicycle shop, I think.
Oh, okay. So we're the South Mountain
Bicycle
Shop.
That's where we had our junior prom. Oh. And we had an orchestra up on the band stage. It was something we had not had before. It was all a wonderful thing that we could go to. We got in evening gowns, and our boys wore ties and everything. I'm getting a little excited here. It was fantastic. It really was. But I was shocked. I think it kind of spoiled my evening.
Now, you didn't come back and win senior. You weren't the, was there the same thing for senior prom as well, too?
No.
No, so somebody rose up through the ranks and beat you out for that one?
You never ran. You were chosen.
You were just chosen. So
people would vote on something. Who would you like to be junior prom? And they would check off.
Oh, okay.
That's it.
Yeah, there wasn't like a whole thing where you had
to. Oh, no. And we didn't have many people.
Oh, that, yeah.
154, I thought.
So would you also say, too, that, you know, looking back on it, like, your future is bound to be a success due to your ability to make and keep friends. Has that been a skill that you've been able to? Because obviously, when I met you for the first time at the Historical Society, we just kind of started talking, and very quickly, you know, I got to learn a lot about you in that, like, brief conversation. So it seems like something that you have literally kept with you for your life from that point.
I developed that, I think, through the years. I somehow, with cheering, that was my life. I loved being a cheerleader. And I met the senior, the gals that were in the class above me, and I fell in with them, and somehow stayed with them all my life. We had a card club that was all the older gals. Actually, our card club was called 48 plus one. Oh. And I was the one,
because
I was
right.
The 49er.
Yeah.
And we traveled all around the country. As we got older, we had a card club for probably 60 years that would meet once a month even while we were raising our children and keeping our husbands happy, that was the best thing in life for me, getting to know those people in high school. And high school really changed my life.
Yeah, and I remember when we spoke at the Historical Society, you had mentioned to me that you were a cheerleader. That was one of the things that you mentioned to me at that point.
Yes.
Because we were looking at some of the memorabilia that was there at the Historical Society that, you know, detailed some of the cool things about Emmaus Pass, and you were remembering those days as a cheerleader. And then I know that you were, I think you were talking to somebody else about being a cheerleader too. So I from just those brief conversations, I know how much that meant to
it
you
did.
And kind of were able to kind of do that. And that's one of the other things that I found in that 1949 yearbook was another article that had you in it, and it says cheerleaders direct school spirit. And it just talked about the role of the cheerleaders in the sporting events now. And of course I have a soft spot for this. My daughter, who we talked about before, like before we started, she's in middle school. She's a cheerleader as well.
Oh.
Too. So I'm sure cheer has changed a little bit from
it
when
you changes your life.
Yeah.
It does.
And it's, you know, you can see like her and with the teammates and developing that confidence as well too. So at the time, what do you remember? Did you cheer only at like sporting events, or was it like now, like my daughter does like competition cheer? So they do these big competitions. So you were only at games and like games.
And we would go to far away games, and we would always go on the same bus as the football guys.
Oh, okay.
Or the basketball guys. But they put us way in the back of the bus, and we had to keep quiet because they were discussing their games. But no, we only. And really, the cheerleaders today are much more active. I learned how to do the somersault and the couple other things. I was not that athletic. Not one of our gals, she could do anything, the roundoffs and stuff. But the kids nowadays, oh my gosh, they built trapezes and all the other stuff. We didn't do that.
But even still though, like just, it didn't look like, I'm looking at the picture, I'm counting about like, about seven girls on the team there, maybe your senior year. But it just, you know, we look back and we think about like what high school athletics was like, and you kind of, you know, you have these ideas of like, you know, the cheerleaders there and their like flowy cheerleader uniforms cheering on the team and like
fantastic.
It just is, you know, it's like that old look back at like, you know, I guess Americana, and it kind of fits exactly what we're thinking about, like, you know, you're the cheerleader, you were the junior prom queen, but you also had these like lifelong connections with these girls that, you know, became women, like that you were able to kind of maintain and see through for all these years.
Absolutely. You never felt above anyone else. You were just in with the group, and you did what you were asked to do, and you loved doing it.
So I want to go through the rest of your list here of the different things you were involved with. So you were the class treasurer for all the years of high school. So
we just had our 74th reunion.
So what as the class treasurer now, what is your role in all the reunion stuff?
Well, unfortunately, all our officers have died. And Nancy Reimert, she was Nancy Wien, and she was the secretary as I was the treasurer all of our lives. And she just died this past year. And she and I started getting together all the class reunions, and now it has fallen on me. But there are very few of us left anymore.
Yeah, when I looked, I found a picture of your 70th class reunion, which again,
yes.
When you put numbers like 70th class reunion on stuff, it's kind of funny. I counted in the 2019 picture, I counted 22 people were present for that,
we had fantastic class reunions.
I was going to say, at a 70th high school reunion, to have 22 people, that's pretty good. And that was one of the things that we also talked about with Doris, that I think like doesn't necessarily translate to kids now. There's like the reunions were like the way that you saw everybody. Like they were big deals. Yeah. It's because like my high school, I went to a small high school, not around here. And ours are like every 5 years because they want to try to bring back like groups of people at a time. And even then, that's like, they don't get a lot of people for those. But I think that like high school reunion for your age and like kind of going through was like such a huge social part of what they did. So,
well, now years ago we had them every 5 years, but then when we came to our 50th year, we decided we had such fun together, and we had different areas that we went to. After the 50th, we decided we were going to get together every year, and we did, and had many successful reunions.
Yeah, it's so cool to hear that. So now as the class treasurer, you're in all the reunion stuff. You were an editor of the yearbook, feature editor at one point. There's something, it's called Hi Jeff, which is a typist. So I don't, is that like a group?
We had a newspaper that came out every month, I think. And of course I loved typing, but that was before the electric typewriter or the computer. But I loved typing, and of course I signed up for that, and I helped type up the Hi Jeff paper.
So that was like the school, was it like the school newspaper at the time?
Yes.
Or was it like, okay.
Yes, it was called Hi Jeff.
So what, any particular reason? That's like a weird, it sounds like a weird name.
They asked for, because our school at that time was Jefferson School.
Okay, so.
Just like the Lincoln School was called the Lincoln School.
Yep.
Washington School was called the Washington School. That was Jefferson School.
Oh, so that makes sense.
That was our high school.
Okay. All right, so you were the student newspaper typist, which I think is fun. You were a cheerleader. You were the glee club, which we talked about, the chorus. You were in the monitor club. So do you remember what the monitor club is?
Yes. That was to, you had a position you had to assume when classes changed. Even at that time, we had a lot of students that came to high school, and I was, I guess with my cheerleader business, I joined the monitor club to kind of keep peace in the halls, because there were a lot of young men that were always doing stupid things.
Well, I will tell you that it's not just men anymore, but there are still
women have come into their own.
there are a lot of young people doing not great things in our hallways too. And Doris mentioned that as well too. And I think that's really fun that like,
did she really?
Well, because she was in the monitor club as well too. And I asked her, and I just think it's really interesting that they had a group of students that monitored the halls, not just, you know. Now we have like paid hall monitors to do that, but it was like on the students to kind of police, for lack of a better word, police themselves in the hallway to kind of keep the order and keep things in check.
Well, I think that started with me in first grade. I was a safety monitor, and I was so proud to wear this safety thing over my chest, because when school would let out at lunchtime, of course, most of us went home for lunch during our high school and younger years. We didn't have the assets of a cafeteria or one that we could afford to pay for. So it kind of became something I did from first grade on. And when I was asked to join the monitor club in high school, yes, I can do that, because I got to know a lot of the students.
Yeah, it's a way to be social. And as an aside, I was also a safety monitor when I was in grade school.
There you go.
Because I was at a small Catholic school, and we did not have a cafeteria either. And a lot of the students live within range of walking home. So I was
exactly.
So I walked home for lunch myself. I remember I had the orange badge as well. So I remember those days of being, again, that's not anything they ask students to do these days, but that's another one of those cool memories of being part of that. So we have three more clubs that you were a part of.
Oh boy.
You were the vice president, actually. No, it's of the knitting club.
I was. Well, I did want it because we were making squares, I think. We learned that probably up at Washington School. And we were doing it for the war, what was it called? The war effort. Because they were making, you would knit squares, and then when you would turn them in, they could make these large covers for people that were affected by the war and perhaps lost their homes. And that was something we could do for the war effort. And I believe that's why I took the advanced knitting class. I even learned to crochet, I think.
Wow. So that was a that was an actual class as well, too.
Yes.
Yeah. It was interesting. I was as I was looking through the yearbook, there was one of the pages, and it had like it was like a, what we call now family consumer science, but it had like the girls at the top were doing something, and then there was a huge section, and it made a big deal about how the boys were learning how to cook. So I just think it's really funny. Like, again, when you look back, this is in your school yearbook of like, we're promoting guys that can cook. And now, like, it's kind of expected that everyone kind of knows all those skills. But it seemed like at the time, it was like kind of one of those big deals that we're going to focus. We're going to highlight, like, we're teaching guys how to cook. So I think it's always fun when you look at stuff like that for the knitting club as well with those things. So two more. The next one, it was called the Varsity E-Club.
Well, that was an honor to be in the Varsity E-Club. And somehow I wasn't there when they took the picture for the Tatler. Because I was a cheerleader and belonged to the Varsity E-Club for so many years, I earned a sweater. We all got green and gold varsity sweaters, and we could put our E emblem on it, and that was such a proud moment that we could support our school and say, I'm from Emmaus, and we were very proud to be from Emmaus.
So that would be like the equivalent of like when the students today get like the big varsity letter jackets, kind of, where like
probably the same situation, just grew and grew.
Yeah.
You know?
But they actually, it was like a group. Like,
yes.
So that's kind of neat.
You had to be qualified to join that class or club.
Oh, cool.
And it was an honor.
Yeah, that sounds like something. Like, when I do this, I kind of always look and be like, oh, is there any like Emmaus tradition? Like, because I feel like a lot of times the students, like, we're trying to get the students to feel connected to the school.
Right.
And like, maybe sometimes they don't. But when you see something like that, like, that's kind of something cool that, like, I don't know if we do something like that now, or could we even bring something like that back? So that's...
Have too many students.
We would have a lot of Varsity E-Club members.
Yes.
And then here's the last one, and this one, I don't know what it would be. It's in quotation marks. It's called the Pickaninny Parade. Was that a performance of some kind?
Yes. Pickaninny Parade. I think it had to do with my freshman year.
Well, it says second year, so I would assume your sophomore year.
Okay. Well, like I said, I was very musical.
Yeah.
And anything that pulled you in, I was there. And probably we did some kind of show. We had a wonderful guy that graduated ahead of me. He was probably a junior when I was a sophomore. His name was Neil Klein. And he had a group of singers and dancers that performed not only in Emmaus High School, but in Emmaus and all the communities around. And I happened to be in a trio at that time, I think. Yes, three gals. And we kind of joined whatever was going on with this pickaninny business. So maybe that's why I have that in there. I don't know why it's in there.
Well, it's in there. So for all of eternity, you are listed as somebody that was in the Pickaninny Parade looking back on it. So we've been able to go through a lot of different stuff, and I really appreciate you kind of going back through all
the
memories.
You're really making me think.
Well, sorry. I guess my role as a teacher, I guess that's what I have to do during the day, whether you're a student or not. So I guess you're always a student here. So as we're kind of winding down here, I often like to ask, like, as you kind of have gone through life here, like, have you noticed like a huge change in what you think high school is like for students? Or if you had any of your own children that went through high school, did you notice like a change in like what high school meant to kids? Like, obviously the technology is different. We know that. But like, do you think the core of high school is still the same for when you went to high school to when kids today are in high school?
I have no idea what the kids are going through in high school today. Certainly, my husband and I had a son and daughter, and they both graduated from Emmaus High School. Of course, then it was East Penn, I think. And both have wonderful careers, so evidently whatever they learned in high school. Of course, my daughter has her college degrees. She has her master's, and my son has his own business that he's developed, and has had both of them are had wonderful careers. So I feel grateful for that, along with my husband. Of course, I lost my husband 30 years ago, but we had 40 years of marriage, and we were blessed.
Did you meet at Emmaus High School?
We did. We both went to Emmaus High School, but I was dating other men, other young boys at the time. He unfortunately had to repeat first grade because he got blood poisoning in his arm, and his mother kept him home from school. So he was 1 year in back of me. So when it came time, I graduated, and he was still in high school for the senior ball, which was one of our big dances. Somehow he asked me to go, and we used to dance together at different dances, but like I said, I was interested in other guys at the time, and that kind of started our history.
So your 40-year marriage love story began at the senior ball at Emmaus High School.
Maybe a little longer, but yes, it kind of opened the door.
That's really cool, though, that you can kind of trace that back to that
high school.
To that high school moment.
He was a good-looking man. He was football, basketball, into sports, and of course, that's what I loved. And
So I assume he was playing while you were cheering, and there was nothing. You were just kind of just all over the place, and never had your eye on him during all those times.
No, like I said, I was interested in someone else.
So the last question that I'll ask you here, and we haven't mentioned your age, but you know, if people can kind of figure out like how kind of old you are, but I asked Doris the same question, is like, so you've gone through high school, you've lived a long and successful life here. If you were to offer a piece of advice to our current ninth grade students, and it doesn't have to be something about specifically about their ninth grade right now, but if you could offer them one piece of advice that you would say, like, as you're going through, maybe this would be important for you to keep in mind or to keep, you know, that maybe a guiding principle or something that could help you to get through everything, what would you say is the most important lesson that you could pass on to them?
Well, truthfully, now that we've talked so much about this, ninth grade was a turning point for me and perhaps for you students, because the world, as certainly as we know now, it's changing all the time. And you are affected whether you're 15, 16, 19, or whatever, you are affected. Try to make the best of things because, like I say, the world is changing all the time and you never know what you're going to be faced with. So be brave and take in what you can, and good luck.
That's a great way to end it. So I appreciate you taking time out of your day here to talk to me, to share some of these great stories. And again, like, as I said to Doris, like, just the opportunity to hear, from the past of Emmaus and from our community, and to be able to kind of get these ideas down for people to be able to see and hear. I think it's so cool to be able to share these. So hopefully we brought back some good memories for you from all your high school days. And we really appreciate you taking the time out to join us today.
It was interesting. Thank you so much. And very nice to meet you.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode. For all of our previous episodes, go to www.ninthgradeexperience.com.